back to this one then. Let me start with some questions. We're still in Malachi, obviously. How have you loved us? How have we despised your name? How have we polluted you? Why does he not accept our offerings with favor? How have we wearied him? How shall we return? Will man rob God? How have we robbed you? How have we spoken against you? Those are the questions that the people in Judah asked Malachi, asked God, when he came, when Malachi came to preach to them. When he said, God has said, I've loved you, they said, how have you loved us? And all those other things. You see, they forgot the things that I heard this morning. They forgot that God's love was steadfast. They forgot to fix their eyes on God. They forgot to wait on the Lord. You see, like I think it was you, Paul, you said God's timing is perfect. And the time when Malachi was preaching was a time when God's people in Judah were called to wait on the Lord and to have faith and to walk by faith even through everything that was happening. That's really, I think, the thrust of my talk this morning is about how do we walk by faith when we look around at the world and we see evil prospering and we see things going wrong in the world, in politics, there's wars, or in our own lives, if we have personal difficulties, personal tragedies, what do we do? How do you walk by faith? See, I think these questions were real, genuine questions. The people, they weren't trying to, you know, they didn't understand how they had failed God, although Malachi then goes on to tell them, because they had, they'd become half-hearted, they'd become unfaithful, but they really thought, you know, all these things are going wrong, what's the point? Where is God? I think these questions, they arose from hearts that were in that place of doubt rather than a place of faith. So I mean, we've heard over the last couple of months of the things that were going on. There was poverty, there was pestilence, drought, crops failing, evil people prospering, corrupt priests, impure offerings. The temple was inferior to the previous temple, even though it had been rebuilt, even though the people had come back from exile. They were, I suppose, disappointed. The nation was smaller. I mean, compared to the kingdom of David, Judah was now a tiny province in the Persian Empire. And they were still under Persian domination, even though they'd returned from exile. But their mistake was, instead of drawing near to God and trusting him, they drew away and they started saying, what's the point? Where's God? All this stuff's going on. God's not doing anything. Why should I give my tithe? Why should I offer my best animal and sacrifice? You know, I can kind of empathize with that, because a lot of the time we go through things in life and we might ask questions like that. God, where are you? Why did you not heal that person I prayed for? Why am I still going through this difficult time? I've been praying about this for years, Lord. When's it going to happen? You see, I think you can look at the nation, God's nation of Israel on the earth, as kind of a metaphor for ourselves as a, you know, a personal kind of level. Like I said, this was a time when God's people were called to have faith and wait on the Lord. because there were going to be no more scriptures between Malachi and the coming of Jesus. This was the last scriptural message that God was sending. So the message was, wait, my final messenger, my Messiah is coming. You have to wait. You have to be faithful. But you can understand, I'm going to do a short history lesson now between what happened between this time and the coming of Jesus to show that this was kind of, there was this almost pattern of disappointment for the Jewish people. Like I said, they were under the Persian Empire. A while later, the Macedonians came under Alexander the Great, and they were under his empire. More or less the same situation for them. Then his empire was broken up, and they were under a Hellenistic kingdom, under the Ptolemaic kingdom. Then they were under the Seleucid Empire, who gained control later. And that was particularly bad because they were then persecuted and they weren't allowed to practice their religion. So things got worse. Then there was a revolution. This was about 164 BC, 164 BC, 164 years before Jesus came. There was a revolution under a man called Judas Maccabeus, and the Jews gained their independence. They had their own nation again. So there was some hope, and maybe they thought this is it. Maybe this is it. This is the finally God's coming through. Then the Romans came, and they were under the Roman Empire again until Jesus. So you can see, it's almost like they kept thinking that it was going to happen, and then it didn't. They came back from exile. It's going to be fantastic. It was a disappointment. They got their independence. It got taken away again. I think there's almost a sense that it's almost worse, I think, if you think you're getting something, you think you're getting somewhere, and then it gets snatched away. My wife, Pamela, recently applied for a job. It was a voluntary job, but it was actually quite a difficult interview process, like proper panel and everything. And wasn't sure she'd done that well. But then she got the call, you've got the job. We're very impressed by your interview, you've got the job. And then she had to do like a PSNI check and everything because she was going to be working with vulnerable people. And she was waiting for that. It came through okay. Then 2 weeks before Christmas, she got an email saying, we're very sorry. We've overstretched our resources. We can't take you on anymore. So she was devastated. But more so than if she just hadn't got it in the first place, because she thought she had it and then it was just taken away. So I want to be a bit practical this morning and talk about what are the things that we can do to help us when we're feeling like this, when we need to walk by faith. Because I think we all have to do this in our lives at times. There are times when we can't clearly see what God is doing. And let me say this. This is a big revelation. When we look around and think what's happening, part of the reason is God knows more than we do. But let me illustrate that, right? Imagine an iceberg, right? You know, on an iceberg, you can only see the very top above the water, but there's this big, huge mountain of ice underneath. If you imagine that top bit, that's what we see. The ice is God's plan, right? What God's doing. And the top bit is what we see. And that big, massive bit underneath is what God's doing and what God knows. And partly that's because God knows what we need to know and what we should know for our current situation. Partly it's because God's mind is so enormous that we couldn't possibly comprehend everything that he's doing and everything that he knows. And that's why he says, trust me, I know more than you do. So I want to take the iceberg metaphor now and transmute it into a rock, because God's not ice. God is the rock. Okay? So don't get confused, but we're talking about rock now. So God's the rock. Jesus told us to build our house on the rock. But not the little boulder that rolls around, but on the bedrock. The bedrock is the rock that's underneath the earth. And guess what? Most of the bedrock you can't see. It's buried. But we have our own little bit where we build our house, and it's secure, and we're safe there. God says, stand on the rock and you will be secure. But we also have to be in this world. And we look, imagine the metaphor, still looking out from your little bit of rock. There's sand, there's earth, it's unsteady. We have to travel there. We have to sojourn through this world. So it can be hard, and we can think it's not safe. But on the one hand, God says, look, always come back to where you've built your home on me, on the rock. That's how you remain safe. That's how you remain secure. Always come back. Don't stay out there. You have to go there because we're still journeying. We're not in heaven yet, but always come back. So we have our own personal security in God. So, and then let me expand that again. I'm stretching this metaphor a bit, but think also, we're still thinking of the bedrock, right, which is God and his security and his plans and what he's doing. And so we have our own bit, but there are also places on the earth where you can see the bedrock breaking through the surface. Think of just here, Cave Hill. You look up, you can see the rocks, the cliffs, and that rock goes right down, down into the earth. That's where it's broken the surface. Go to a mountainous place, you'll see that. So I just thought, you know, God has also given us certain things in our life. This is hopefully the practical bit. To help us, if we're struggling, to help us with our faith, things that we can hold on to. And the first one, which I suppose is the one I've been talking about, your own bit of rock, is your own personal salvation. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, then you have had at least one personal experience of God that was so powerful that it caused you to change your life and dedicate your life to Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to not live for myself anymore, I'm going to live for God. And that's a massive change. So whatever you experienced, it was real. And hold on to that. I remember my own experience of coming to God and the joy and the almost sort of supernatural just presence that I seemed to feel at that time. And I've always held on to that in dark times. If I've ever doubted my own salvation, I can think back to that. And I knew then, I had no doubt in my mind that it was real and that I had experienced God. And I still believe that, and nothing has ever shaken that. So everyone who is saved will have something like that that they can hold on to. So what I want to talk about, that's an experience that I can hold on to. God, I think, has given us experiences and also truths that we can hold on to. There's been times in my life where I struggled with different things, with faith, with religion, with church, and had a lot of doubts and questions. Especially before I started coming to Kingsway for a few years, I was in quite a dark place and had a lot of doubts. But there was one thing in the Christian faith that I always held on to, and that for me, nothing anyone ever said was able to shake this, and that was the person and the person of Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus is. I really agree with C.S. Lewis when he says that when we look at Jesus, what he did and what he said, there are only three options for who he is. He's either the Lord God, or he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. He's insane. Now, read the Gospels, read things that were written about Jesus by people who knew him. I cannot in my mind fathom that he was a lunatic or that he was a liar. So that only leaves Lord. And that the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is God incarnate is something I've always held on to. That's a truth that helps me. You might have a different one, but remember them and hold on to them. And we will also have had other experiences that we can hold on to. Did you witness, maybe you were healed, maybe you witnessed someone being healed, maybe God answered your prayer, maybe God made you a promise and it was fulfilled, maybe you had some other supernatural experience of God that could leave no doubt in your mind. Those are the experiences, those are the little bits of bedrock breaking up through the surface that you can see and hold on to, that help our faith in the dark times. Remember these things. The devil wants you to forget those things and forget that you are saved and forget that God has done all these things in your life. Yep. Remember them. God will bring them back to you. He brought things back to me that I'd forgotten. In Malachi, the prophet brings God's word to the people, and he rebukes them, and he tells them to draw near to God again. And towards the end of the book, he says, and this is in chapter 4, verse 4, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel." Remember the law of my servant Moses. Why did he say that? He could have said, "Remember, I brought you out of Babylon." He could have said, "Remember, I helped David defeat Goliath." He could have said anything, you know, that he had done, but he said, "Remember the law of my servant Moses." And I think when he said that, he was kind of saying, remember who you are. Remember that you are my people and that I have made covenant with you and that I have seen Moses face to face and he has brought you my word. Remember that you are God's people. Your nation might be small now. Your temple might be small. There might be corruption. But your God is big. Your God is still Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt. Your God is still the God of Moses. And he always will be. So walk by faith. And there's a promise as well. Chapter 3, verse 18. "Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Once more you shall see. Because the people couldn't see now. All they saw was wickedness and doubt. But God's saying, hold on. Have faith. Draw near to me. Don't draw away from me. And once more, you shall see. You won't be blind. And it was a long time coming. It was hundreds of years. But God came to his people. He came in Christ. He came to help them see again. And many, many of his people turned to him and were saved and continue to be so today. So my message really today is to walk by faith and to hold on to those things that God has done for us and that God has done for you, and to hold on to his promises. That even if you can't see now, even if you go through a dark place, you shall see again. If you draw near to God, if you remain faithful, he will come. It may take a long time. It may feel like it's not going to happen, but he will come.